Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control.
Hey.
I'm a bad motherfucker, riding through the night. A 50 motherfucker and I love coming fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, no need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out, chin, check the dose, and need to ask for the ticket after ticket. Man, I ain't gon' pay. Better do 30 days locked up in CJ. Let's twist the throttle, let's get the rolling. My drag pipes on my bike, get the blow in. A third motherfucker street calling me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat.
Come on.
Approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'm a 10-year rolling to the bone. With 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie, I'ma always hit a ball. My homeboys might rubble, but we never ever fall. At the end of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, oh fucking well. I guess you could call me the angel from hell. Hey!
Hello, everybody. Be a short night with the weather. Few other things, but I wanted to talk about a couple of things I saw in the paper. The noise you hear is from a newspaper I'm folding over. But one thing I wanted to do was I wanted to share this with everybody tonight, and this is an oldie but a goodie. This is from YouTube. I'll put this in the chat, but there we go, there's one, I get this, there's two, get that, Bill said to say hello everybody, things are going on, a little rain today, people not on a drive here, but this here is pretty good. What this is President Obama is going to explain why Congress should pass a law that 61% of us don't want.
If we don't pass it, here's the guarantee that the people who are watching tonight, your premiums will go up, your employers are going to load up more costs on you, potentially they're going to drop your coverage because they just can't afford an increase of 25-30% in terms of the cost of providing health care to employees each and every year, and the federal government will go bankrupt.
You really believe that, don't you? You know, you're really an enigma to me. You appear to be a moderately well-educated man. You use that highly trained intellect, not the way those who taught you intended that you should, but you utilize it much the same as a highly sophisticated weapon, don't you? You've had the finest university teachings in the world, and having once been gifted with all that, how do you put it to use? For the common detriment of man, for the ultimate and positive disintegration of the society that made that learning possible for you. And the pity of it is you're believed in, particularly by the young. With the power of that highly refined intelligence, you can move mountains.
What about my freedoms, my rights, my family's way of living? You don't concern yourselves with that, do you? People don't want your warped and distorted sensibilities to interfere with their way of life.
You're full of enthusiasm and ideas, and you're boiling over with energy. You want to change things. So you look around, you see a lot of things that need changing. People kill each other, and they shouldn't. People are hungry, and they shouldn't be. People are cold and they're illiterate. They need shelter. They need books. The world needs changing. Well, it does need changing, but if you're going to live with the rest of us, then you'll have to learn to play the game by the rules. And in case you've forgotten the name of the game, we call it democracy.
Yep. Let me do this real quick. Play this song and I'll be right back. Charlie Baker.
night, peace.
There we go. Ed, a little technical thing here. I think it's the weather, but I think we got a handle on it right now. But yeah, I was thinking, and I found an article. It's called a sensible Framework to Rein in Medical Pot, which is going to be given to veterans who have PTSD. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'll leave it at that. But after 19 years of doing almost nothing to regulate California's medical marijuana industry, lawmakers surprisingly cobbled together a comprehensive package of regulatory bills in the final days of the legislative session last week. Even more surprisingly, the package appears to contain a solid framework to oversee virtually every aspect of the industry. Well, since Colorado made $34 million, I think they've seen the light. But growing marijuana, product safety, retail sales, distribution, environmental degradation. If it seems too good to be true after all these years, California voters decriminalized the use of marijuana for medical purposes in 1996. It may indeed still prove to be just that. The proof will be in the enforcement of the newly created Bureau of Medical Marijuana Regulation. You know they had to come up with a bureau, and you know they got a director already, whose director will have to be confirmed by the Senate. Importantly, the regulatory bills, all authored by Senator Mike McGuire, E. Heidsberg, has preserved the right of cities and counties to regulate or ban medical marijuana dispensaries, as well as the ability of individual medical pot users to grow limited amounts themselves. Pressure on legislators to finally get something done came from the strong likelihood that an initiative to legalize recreational use of marijuana will qualify for the statewide ballot next November, which, if passed, will significantly increase the need for a strong regulatory framework already in place. Never was the adage "better late than never" more applicable. You know, the other thing, we got last November, this is the article I'm going to read. It's called "Gangster Government Wins in the Assembly." Last November, the New York Times created a shocking story about seminars held around the country in which police officials are told how to maximize the amount of property which they confiscate from the public. Let me say that again. National seminars held around the nation and the country in which police officials are told how to maximize the amount of property they confiscate from the public without criminal convictions or meaningful external review so as to boost their budgets. Don't bother with jewelry, it's too hard to dispose of. And computers, everybody's got one already. The experts counsels, but do go after flat screen TVs, cash, and cars, especially the nice cars. The sessions were explicitly not about how a police force can keep society safe, but how an agency can legally seize homes, cars, and other property from families and take money from people who don't have what police consider adequate explanations for what they are carrying, why they are carrying lots of cash. This is a gangster government. After hearing about appalling cases in California, such as Palo Alto police seeking to seize the home of an elderly disabled woman after a young family member was caught selling drugs at another location, the state Senate voted 38-20 in June to approve a measure by Senator Holly Mitchell, Democrat from Los Angeles, that would limit what property can be seized without a criminal conviction. Appalling enough, the measure was killed in the assembly on Thursday after various lobbying by police officials. It's disgraceful that police chiefs fight for the right to stomp on due process. We thank local assembly members Tony Atkins, Shelley Weber, and Brian Manchausen for backing the Mitchell measure. As for members Marie Waldron, Rocky Chavez, I know him, and Brian Jones, who opposed the bill, they're on record as supporting police policies that limit to an overt assault on domestic values and the Fourth Amendment. Assembly Lorena Gonzalez didn't vote on the measure. We must take the profit out of policing. It creates incentives for corrupt behavior by those we trust to fight corruption. Incentives that are acted on. Let me do this right here real quick. I don't know if you guys heard me earlier, but Bill said to say hello to everybody. Thursday. And be a good time. As long as we don't get him to sing Happy Trails. Somebody called in last week and wanted him to sing Happy Trails. He's got a better, got the perfect face for radio. But then we got, and Letters is the other. This came out of from a lady named Judy Wallace from Rancho Mirage out there in the desert. She says, we have just completed a 2-month visit to Carlsbad, staying in an apartment across from Tamarack Beach. The area has so many attractions leading with the glorious ocean, wonderful restaurant, theater offerings, friendly people, and was perfect with one exception. That is the excruciating noise coming from motorcycles. I emphasized the complaints about noise around the airport. However, this noise is essential to the functioning of the planes. I cannot imagine any purpose to the sounds of coming from motorcycles other than boosting the egos of the drivers. Is there nothing that can be done to curb the public nuisance? You have a piece of paradise. Do whatever is necessary to make it perfect. Well, why don't you go find somewhere else to vacation? Because basically, what this lady is going to do, what this lady did right here, about 5 years ago, somebody wrote an article about a club being in town in Oceanside, and the shit hit the fan. Anybody that wore anything, got stopped, hassled. Bogus helmet tickets, bonus pike tickets, no turn signal tickets. No turn signals on your bike. All kinds of equipment violations and bullshit for nothing. This same thing's going to happen here. Somebody's going to see this. Somebody's going to call the police department in Carlsbad. And guess what? Everybody's going to get fucked with. Doesn't matter if you're on a sport bike, but they don't really bother them. They go after the guys on Harleys. And we have nothing to do with it. Got an article here. Let me read this to you guys. This one's called Motorcycle. Wait. Let me get to this here. This is a good article. This one is called Motorcycle Noise and Money. Let me get this over here. I can see this over here. It's tempting for bikers to laugh off the holy crusade against motorcycle noise and aftermarket exhaust pipes. The reasons for replacing stock exhaust on a Harley is obvious to the people who do it. Back in the day, 82-inch shovelheads made about 70 horsepower right out of the box. Brand new 82-inch twin cams make about 58 horsepower. The reason for the decrease is that the modern bikes are essentially set up at the factory to run inefficiently. They must run poorly in order to meet the mileage, noise, and pollution abatement goals that are mandated by a self-righteous and distant bureaucracy. It all seems like so much red tape to most riders. Harley Davidson does not build motorcycles that run well. Harley builds motorcycles that meet arbitrary and fetuous government standards. Standard set of improvements made to brand new motorcycles even as a name. Most people call it the Harley tax. The Harley tax is the amount new owners must pay to let the engines breathe. Results of changing the pipes and air filter and fattening the gas to air mixture are immediate and potential life-saving. Motorcycles are small and vulnerable, so riders commonly try to stay safe by out-accelerating danger. And factory pipes frustrate the ambition to stay alive. Loud pipes save lives. Secondly, as anybody who has ever actually ridden a motorcycle knows, Harleys are not vehicles so much as they are the cloaks of invisibility. It is not simply a matter of motorists not seeing motorcycles. Drivers tend not to recognize the motorcycles they see as other motor vehicles sharing the road with them. So it is common for drivers to simply run over bikes. In the United States, these collisions... Let me get this right here.
These collisions make the papers about 15 times a day, and it's much harder to survive a freeway collision on a bike than in a car. Motorcycles that are loud enough to be heard inside a soundproof passenger compartment are not only better able to run away from bike-buying motorists, they almost are much harder to ignore. Even motorcycle cops know this. In 2007, the city of Oakland put stock pipes on all 30 of its Harley-Davidsons. The new pipes stayed on until an Oakland cop riding a Harley with the stock exhaust was stuck by a driver who said he never knew the motorcycle was there. According to then Oakland Deputy Chief Dave Kaczynski, the decibel drop sparked a chorus of complaints from other officers who said they felt less safe. The department concluded. Kaczynski went on to say that all in the best interest of the officers, he put loud audible pipes back on. The noise nuts. That's what we all know who the noise nuts are. The campaign against motorcycle noise is also an easy way to dismiss because it is led by a bare handful of fatuous and unpleasant busybodies. The concept of noise pollution was invented in 2004 by UCLA professor of political activism named Ted Reuter. Reuter started a campaign called Noise Free America and as recently as 2005 had to justify the concept that to the left leaning against N.T. Reader, a lot of people got off on noise and think that there's something wrong with peace and quiet, Reuter told the Digest. We're still fighting a public perception that this is a trivial issue, and anyone who's concerned or interested in curbing a noise is a crank. Other cranks became aroused when they heard Reuter's seductive call, and most of them took pains to make themselves appear more important than they actually were. If anyone remembers, Boston tried to do this. Didn't work out too good. The well-known and often quoted group Noise Off is a guy named Richard Turr. The spelling is not typographical. He actually spells his last name with the final D. Turd. A citizens group in Maine called MECOM, Maine Citizens Against Loud Motorcycles, is a guy named Andy Ford, who has a neighbor who is a state senator. A similar grassroots organization in New Hampshire called New Hampshire Com is another guy named Bill Mitchell. It's common to underestimate how many important fanatics like Reuter, Turr, Ford, Mitchell are becoming, but they are important because they are warping public perception and inspiring new laws. One of those new laws, one of those new laws in California is scheduled to go into effect next year. It's called the Motorcycle Anti-Tampering Act. And it was sponsored by a California state senator named Fran Pavli. This was last year. But somebody wanted to hear this, so I'm reading it for them. Pavli said her new law was aimed at a few bad apples on the roads who are infringing on the rights of others with illegal, attention-seeking loud pipes. Pavli's statement was a loathsome lie, but it became a truth because nobody was able to contradict her. She's a former middle school teacher who represents the most affluent neighborhoods in Los Angeles, and she demonstrates a tendency to treat other adults as if they are their middle school students. She is so ridiculous a person that she is also tempting to either ignore or laugh her away. Unfortunately, she has the power to enact these ridiculous laws. Abby's law effectively forbids Harley owners from replacing their exhausts with better ones. The act requires motorcycle exhausts sold after 2012 that had a visible EPA stamp. The law also requires that motorcycles not exceed a sound level of 80 decibels, which is 1.3 decibels quieter in New York's Tony Inichin restaurant on a quiet night as measured by the Zagger Restaurant Guide. It is 10 decibels quieter than a normal conversation, 30 decibels less than a lawnmower, and 15 decibels quieter than the police bikes in Oakland when they idle. 80 decibels is also 5 decibels quieter than the traffic noise inside an auto with the windows rolled up. Searches and fines. Police departments throughout the country have eagerly jumped on the motorcycle noise abatement bandwagon. Not only is loud quickly becoming probable cause to detain a passing motorcyclist, ensuring that all passing motorcycles are not loud has become a reason to implement motorcycle roadblocks. Under the guise now in California, motorcycle safety checkpoints. These roadblocks are in effect, drag nets that allow police to stop bikers in order to try to get something on them. The 80 decibel limit is so arbitrary and unreasonable that it gives a police officer a reason to stop and fine everybody. And as everybody already knows, these fines are a growing revenue source for cities and towns desperate for cash. They are, in effect, the most lateral way, highway robbery. Money rather than narcotics is the main reason my motorcycle noise abatement campaigns are picking up steam. There is money in motorcycle noise for police and politicians. There is also money in the motorcycle noise for a guy named Chris Buell. In order to write the new California law and similar laws in cement, police have a scientifically justifiable standard for measuring motorcycle noise, and they must have the equipment to make these specific measurements. The author of a scientific procedure is an entrepreneur named Chris Buell. He also makes the equipment. The new standard for measuring motorcycle noise is titled SAE J 2825. SAE used to be an abbreviation for Society of Automotive Engineers. It is now a trademark for a profit company called SAE International. SAE sets numerous standards ranging from socket sizes to the standard dimension of cargo containers. It means having nine independent contractors to invent its standards. Chris Real, who owns a company named DPS Technical Incorporated in Upland, California, is the author of SAE J2825. For the last year, actually 2 years, since the California Motorcycle Tampering Act was signed into law, Real has been teaching the procedure he invented to cops around the country. The training in California has been subsidized by the State Office of Traffic Safety. The State of State Agency has also subsidized the campaign in Elk Grove, California, to see how much revenue police there can generate by writing motorcycle noise tickets. The Elk Grove police have been writing tickets for the last year. They didn't write noise tickets for jackhammers or trucks. They only write noise tickets for motorcycles. Real's procedure uses what Real sells. EPS technical main product is a law enforcement sound measurement kit. This kit includes a sound level meter, an ANSI Type 1 field calibrator, two vibration tachometers, measuring tape, OVH RPM testing data, spark arrestor probe, and a case. It also includes certificates of calibration, personal protection equipment, a field carrying case, and an informational DVD. A typical field kit for enforcement purposes, the PNSLM, even kit one costs $3,100. No highway robber should be without one. Yep. Let me, see if I can get the rest of this article. I lost half of it. Please be patient. There's a video on how this guy explains how this works.
And I'm going to show you how to do a stationary sound test on a street motor.
Hold on.
The SAE.
There we go.
I'm Chris Real with DPS Technical. I'm a member of the SAE Steering Committee, and I'm going to show you how to do a stationary sound test on a street motorcycle using the SAE J2825 stationary sound test procedure.
Why have a motorcycle sound?
On-road sound has become a problem with the noise from primarily the modified exhaust systems that many motorcyclists have on their vehicles. It's caused some problems in the communities. An objective test, such as the stationary sound test method that's been developed, puts an identified number with a specified test procedure on the loudness. It takes the subjectiveness out of the equation. The American Motorcyclists Association has taken the absolute responsible position in getting behind the new SAE J2825 stationary sound test procedure. What this does, it provides harmony for legislation and for reasonable law enforcement, which is a benefit to the communities, it's a benefit to the riders, and AMA has done a This test is extremely simple to do. It requires the use of a sound level meter, a ruler or a measuring tape, and some way of taking the engine speed, a tachometer of some sort. The 2825 test procedure has a variety of parts. The first thing, of course, we're going to need is an area in order to do the test. So we need an area with approximately 8 feet or so of clearance so we don't get the reflective sound. In order to do the test has three parts. It has an idle portion where we just idle the bike at a smooth idle. The sound level meter is placed 20 inches away from the exhaust pipe at a 45-degree angle. And then we have another part of the test that is at an identified engine test speed. And that's dependent upon the vehicle. If it's a sport bike, since the sport bikes rev much higher, it's idle and 5,000 RPM. That would be for a four-cylinder. For like a twin cylinder of E-twin, it's idle and 2,000 RPM, which is just above idle, really. That's how we do a stationary sound test on this motorcycle. Thank you for participating in responsible motorized racing.